Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this first Sunday in September. It's almost towards the end of the year now, and getting to the last quarter of 2022. The time flies by very fast. Thanks be to God for us able to gather here today to worship together in this church and also online. God has given us another day to live in this world, not for our sake, but for the sake of His kingdom and for the blessing of this world. So let us thank God for all that blessings that we have, the good health and strength we have in our bodies. Every day is a gift from God, so let us be thankful for that. The announcements, as we go through them in the second page of the bulletin, please follow with me on that. The regular announcements are listed there for our food bank collection that we take part in that ministry. Please donate, and the books are still available for sale that will benefit the missions of this church. Our mailing address is listed, particularly for those who are remote. And then the cooking class, if anybody is interested in doing another class in September or October, please let us, one of us, know. We will schedule that. It's on a Saturday, second Saturday of the month usually. The art class with Wayne will be on September 17th on Saturday at 10 a.m. Please join. And the third Thursday luncheon will be at the Golden Corral on September 15th. Then today, the Holy Communion, we will be having Holy Communion today during service. Please join. All are welcome. And our charge conference is scheduled for October 23rd, which is a Sunday. After service, we have to go to New Hope United Methodist Church. We will be meeting with several other churches in this area, and the district superintendent will be there, and we'll be presenting our reports for the year and also the budget and the plans for the next year. We will have a church council meeting prior to that on September 25th, which is the last Sunday of this month, where we'll have a luncheon usually. So we'll do that right after lunch, so we can go home, you know, without a lot of delay. So I scheduled it for 2 p.m. Maybe we can do it before that. As soon as we finish our lunch, we can get on going that. We need to approve our budget, our leadership for the next year, and some of the works that we need to do on the church and the parking lot, that we need to get approval for that as well. There is one item that I have not listed there. There's a Hispanic church that wants to partner with us in doing some ministry here. Yeah, so God is opening some leads for us. They have about 20 people and some children, and they wanted to use our facility, fellowship hall, and maybe a couple of Sunday school rooms on Sundays. And also they will be meeting one day for Sunday school and Bible study. I believe it's on a Thursday evening. So we'll figure that out and put all of that together in a letter and have them sign. So the pastor and the leaders are going to meet with us today. So if whoever wants to stay back, please stay back, and we can have a talk with them, especially the leaders of the church. So. Okay. Let's talk to them and find out more. If you are curious in talking to them, please stay back and we'll talk to them. The attendance and collections are listed there. Let us continue to pray for the church, and thank you for all your participation in giving and also your time and witness for the church, and help us to grow in many ways as much as we can possibly do in this community. Are there any other announcements or anything that is not listed there, or anybody wants to bring up anything? Activity here, hopefully this will be it. If there are no other announcements, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn, hymn number 368. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest strain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is singing sand, all other ground is singing sand. When darkness fills this lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds faith in the wind. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to gather here in this church and also online to worship you and adore you. We thank you for the gift of life that you have given us, Lord, in this world, along with all the blessings that you have given us. Thank you for always being there for us, Lord, listening to our prayers and our meeting every need of ours, even when we are not aware of it. We thank you for your merciful grace, and thank you for your grace that you shower upon us every day, even when we don't deserve it. At this time, we come before you as your children, Lord, along with all the saints in this world and in heaven and angels in heaven, to worship you, Lord, and lift up your name. Bless us today with your presence, Lord, that we will honor you and worship you in our songs we sing, in our prayers we make, in our meditation of the word, and the Holy Communion that we partake today, Lord. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us everything that we need for our salvation and eternity. Help us, Lord, to be humble today as we worship together. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Touch each and every one of us according to our needs and desires of our hearts. As we go from this place, that will be powered and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be faithful witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
We'll do the responsive reading now, which is again Psalm 23, it's on the screen, and also it is on page 754, if you want to follow that, let us say that together. Please stand if you are able.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and what I would do in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may, word of God, for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Blessings that we can thank God for, all the blessings that we receive in our lives. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin, some of the boxes you could see there. continue to pray for these people and these items. Particularly, we continue to pray for Carol. She's still having some hard time with the pain. So please keep her in our prayers, and also Wayne, as he is taking care of her, so that there will be a healing, that God will touch her and heal her. Continue to pray for George Varghese as he's making progress. So keep him and also his family in our prayers for his time. Paul and Becky is almost recovered from their COVID and the rest of the issues that they had. They thank us for our prayers. Let us continue to keep them in our prayers as well. Any special call-outs or any names, any Thanksgiving items that we need to thank God or bring up in prayer requests?
Diagnosed
he's been going through a lot here, so please keep him in our prayers, and also keep the doctors who are trying to figure out what's going on, that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit to find a good resolution for it.
Yes.
Something unusual happening, so please keep all of that in your prayers. I didn't see Martha online today. I don't know what, I haven't heard anything different. Maybe she had another chemo this week, but keep her in our prayers. And also Terry's mother, Eleanor Nicholson, please keep her in our prayers too, as she's going through a recurrence of the cancer again. Let us keep our country in our prayers, our nation, to have peace in this country, particularly during this election time, that God will bring unity. And also pray for the president, leaders of the Congress, and the governors, and all of those who make decisions, that God will give them the guidance and the wisdom to make the right decisions, particularly with the economy and the prices rising and all those issues that we are having. Also, please be thankful for our service workers, our doctors, our nurses, and delivery people, and our trash workers, and many others who are serving us on a daily basis. Let us be thankful for that. Even in the midst of these difficulties, they are serving us, and let us pray for them and for their safety, their family's safety as well. Any special call-outs or anything else? If not, let us go to God in prayer together. We'll spend a few moments in a silent prayer, and then we'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who he seeks will find it." Jesus said, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come together in your name, to worship together and lift up your name in this place and also online. We thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies to get up this morning to see a new day in our life. We thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, even when we are not aware of it, and even when we don't deserve it. Thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. At the same time, we come before you in many ways broken in our bodies, in our spirits, in our souls. Many times we are afraid of what is happening around us, and also afraid of the future that is ahead of us. But we know that you are the one who is always close by, who has led us in the past with your faithfulness, and who is going to be there with us even in the future. When we are lonely, you become our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. And you are the source of all true healing, and we come before you for that. We lift up all of those that we have named here, particularly the ones that we have been praying for, particularly their healing in their bodies. Especially we pray for Carol. Bless her with your healing at this time and touch her with your healing hand, that she will be completely healed. And we pray for Wayne as well, as they're going back to the doctor for the surgery, that it will be a successful surgery that they can have, and she will be restored back to her health, Lord. Pray for both of them at this time, that your comforting presence be with them and fill them with your peace. We pray for George Varghese as he's healing and recovering. Bless him with your grace at this time, Lord, and his family. We pray for Paul and Becky. Thank you for your continued healing hand upon them. We pray for all of those who are struggling like that. We pray for Eleanor Nicholson and Martha and all those who are continuing their treatments and other things that they are doing for their health. Bless them with your healing. Above all, we pray for peace in their hearts and the peace in their families' lives, Lord. We lift up all of our nation at this time as a whole. Bless us with your peace, Lord, especially during this time of election and many other things are going around us, Lord, with the economy. We pray for your grace upon this nation, especially our president and vice president and leaders of the Congress and governors and many others who make decisions, Lord. Give them your wisdom, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Above all, the fear of God in their hearts, that they will make decisions wisely during this time. We pray for our service workers. Thank you for their services. At the same time, we pray for their safety, their family safety. We particularly pray for Harry at this time, as we are looking to your presence, Lord, at this time, that you will give them the guidance, the doctors who is treating them, to find the right diagnosis for this, whatever he's going through. That we are asking for a full healing for him and a complete recovery, Lord. And we know that you are the source of all healing, and you can touch him now as we speak. And when we are united in faith as your children, you have promised that you will answer our prayers. Bless him, Lord, with your peace at this time, and also Jan. Continue to guide them as a family and their family members as well, Lord. Be with us today as we worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Help us to worship you with truth and spirit, and also lift up your name, and empower us with your word today as we go from this place, that we can be more faithful witnesses for you in the days to come, Lord. As we look forward to the ministry of this church in the coming year, help us, Lord, to use the opportunities that you have given us faithfully, that will spread your love and compassion and care to the people who are in need around us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, with your grace today as we take part in the communion, that it will be a blessing for us and will be a source of blessing to this world through us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory. We stand for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. The scripture is asking us to give according to our desires of our hearts, and not reluctantly, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound in us as we are faithful in giving our gifts and services to God. Loving God, we come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Take this offering that our people have submitted before you. Thank you for honoring these gifts, and help us to use this for your ministry in this community and around the world faithfully, Lord. Let your name be lifted up in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, Lou is going to do a special for us entitled, I'll Fly Away.
Please be seated.
Someday, morning,
Thank you, Lou and Wayne, for doing that as a blessing. Let us read our scripture now. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the scripture, which is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4 and 15 through 21. This is also a familiar passage that many of you know, that Jesus was comforting his disciples while they were afraid of their future, and Jesus was telling them that he was going to be crucified and going to be dead, and he will rise again. So this is the time that he was comforting them. Let us listen to Jesus' words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if there was not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word, which is power and life in us, and also will become power and life through us to this world. We come before you and humble us before you, Lord, as we listen to your word, that it will become power in us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be humble before your word and before you, and also be obedient to your spirit, to obey the words that you are commanding us to do. Help us not to be afraid when things go wrong around us, because you are a good shepherd that follows the sheep and keeps the sheep all the time. And we thank you for your faithfulness in the past, and we look forward to the future with you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds to your word. Illumine our souls. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we continue with our meditation on Psalm 23, where we are coming in verse 4. We read about a dark valley that the shepherd David probably was very familiar with when he was tending his sheep. So he was comparing his life as a shepherd, God being the shepherd and the people of God as the sheep, because he has experience as a shepherd in tending the sheep, as we all know now. But there are situations were that he had to take his sheep through the dark valleys. This is one of the reasons why probably we read this psalm mostly on our difficult times and sick beds and our funeral services many times, because of this particular verse that mentions about the darkest valley of life. So what is the darkest valley of life? Many scholars are saying that it could be the death valley that he is talking about. But at the same time, there are other dark valleys that we have to go through. Many, many dark valleys that the shepherd will have to take the sheep through. But the darkest of all valleys is death. Because it is not because there is no light, sunlight around us. It is because of the unknown of what is happening at death time and beyond. But as people of God, we don't have to be afraid, because we know what is going to happen after death. Because we believe in a God who lives in heaven, and he's going to take us into heaven once we leave this body from this earth. And we know that and we believe that. So we don't have to be afraid. And David is reassuring through this psalm that God is going to be there through the valley, taking us to the next place where we are going to be with him forever. We are afraid of death. Nobody in this world, many people would say that they are not afraid of death. But when the time comes, everybody is afraid of death, one way or other. A senior citizen, very old, in his very old age, was calling the doctor's office about his prescription. And he's asking, is it true that the medication that you prescribed me, I have to take the rest of my life? And the doctor said, yes, I'm afraid so. Then he was quiet for a moment, and then he replied, I'm wondering then just how serious is my condition, because this bottle says no refills. So regardless of where we are and what we do, we are all afraid of die. Everyone is worried or concerned about death, or if not afraid. David talks about the dark valley that he's going to face one day, that he's describing as the darkest valley. It is the darkest valley of all, which is death, most probably, that he was talking about. But in our lives, the dark valleys can be anything. You know, our life is made up of mountains and valleys. The mountains are very beautiful, that you can go up there and enjoy the, you know, the scene and the beauty of the nature. And many of us like to be on the mountaintop, to be happy, joyful, you know, rejoicing together, which is very good, which is a good thing that we like to have. And it's nothing wrong with that. But many times, climbing up the mountaintop is not an easy thing. When you climb up, it's not an easy thing. Remember, Jesus took his disciples, three of them, to the mountaintop, and the rest of them didn't go. Amen. Peter, John, and James, they went up to the mountaintop with him. They were already tired. Jesus said, let us go to the mountaintop. Only three volunteered to go out of the 12. That is one quarter, right? Yeah. That's what happens in our churches too. Who wants to go to the mountain? Oh, we all like to go to the mountain, though. We like to do this, and that. But who wants to step up? You know. So they decided to climb that mountaintop. Climbing is not easy. It takes hard work. It takes a lot of energy. And also a commitment, that you would not turn around and come back in the middle of climbing there. A commitment also. So in order to enjoy the presence of Jesus there in the mountaintop and the joyful experience that they had to climb the mountain. We all climb mountains every day. Climbing mountains are real. Very hard and very difficult many times. You know. At the same time, we like to be in the valleys too, because valleys are fertile. There's a lot of greenery there and streams and beauty around us. But even in the valleys, there can be darkness. Particularly in those areas where David is talking about, in those areas that he grew up and he tended his sheep, the valleys can be beautiful. At the same time, all of a sudden, the clouds can come together. There's mountains all around them. And immediately, like in the middle of the day, it can become dark. That happens in our lives too. As we are going around with our lives and everything is going beautiful and nice and peaceful, something will hit us. And you and I know that, you know, there's no There is no way out of it. We are all, that is realities of life. We have to face it. So the valleys are reality, mountains are realities, but this mixture makes up the life that we call life in this world. The Bible often talks often talks about valleys as tough times. You know, Joshua talks about the valley of calamity, and in Psalm 84 the psalmist is talking about the valley of tears, valley of Baca, and then the prophet Hosea talks about valley of Achor, which he refers to as the valley of trouble. So troubles and tears and grief and all those weeping things, all these things come together in the valley as we enjoy our lives through this valley. It could be the valleys of darkness of sickness or darkness of anxiety, or they can be the valleys of tears like the death or persecutions of life. And David used this powerful phrase to speak some kind of dark and fearful experience that he was going through or he will be going through. And even in the midst of that, he is placing his hope in a God who promised that he will be there with him no matter what happens. Even in the darkest valleys of our lives, God's presence is going to be there like a shepherd, committed to the sheep, even through the darkest valleys of life. So in Peter, 1 Peter, Peter writes his letter. He's saying that do not think that when trials come into your life, do not think that it's a strange thing. It happens to everybody. Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. So when trials come and difficulties come and hit us and dark valleys and darkness looms around us, don't be afraid. In the midst of the darkness, there is the light of the world who will light and shine our path. Peter is saying that trials are necessary to try our faith. We are not to think of them as strange. And he also says that God will be with us in the midst of our trials. Then again he says that after the trials, we will come out as precious as gold. Because there is something that I learned about refining gold. In the past days, they used to refine gold by hand. They will put it through fire, the goldsmith. And he will look at the gold, and he will put it and heat it up and heat it up and heat it up until all the impurities will be melted away. And how do you know how much pure that gold is? The goldsmith knows. We don't know. Depending on how much pure gold he wants to get out of it, the more heat he will have to apply to that. That's what I learned. And one of the goldsmiths says like this, the clearer the gold gets, the purer it becomes. So what he does is the molten metal, as he is melting that gold, he will look into the molten metal. And if he can see his face in that metal, clearly that gold is going to be pure. As we go through our melting situations of fire in our lives, our Father in heaven, our Creator, our goldsmith is looking at us and not taking his eyes away from us. He's looking at us as we go through this fire so that his face will be reflected in our lives. So his beauty is going to be seen in the trials of our life. What a beauty that is going to be. God is going to be there with us, looking at us so much carefully as we go through the trials and problems of our lives. So we live in a life which is this world where trouble is the norm and not an exception. Everyone will have trouble one time or other. You don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find us. It will come and look for us. So no matter who we are and how powerful we think we are, we all have to go through trouble one time or other. But the Bible promises us that all troubles are not going to be for our harm. It is not for the bad. We can always trust in a God who can make good things out of our troubles, as he has done in the past. As we continue this meditation of the psalm, the valley of the darkest valley may be the death that many scholars are talking about. Death is something that many of us do not know how it comes and when it comes and where we'll be after that. But like I said, Jesus was actually teaching about this dark valley one time. Remember when he was talking about the Good Samaritan parable, that he was talking, the man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and there was a big valley there, and the robbers robbed him and left him for dead. It was a dark valley there. And there came the Good Samaritan and tended him and took him to an inn and saved his life that we talk about. It might be the same valley that David probably was talking about. David may have led his sheep in this valley also. But the valley of the shadow of death is real because everybody has to go through it one time or other. A famous British scientist used to say that life itself is but the shadow of death, and the souls departed but the shadow of the living. So as long as we live in this world, we are always constantly in the shadow of death, knowingly or unknowingly. It can happen any time. But many times we are not aware of it, or we don't think about death because we think it's not for us, somebody else. But the shadow of death is a reality, a dark valley. The darkness can come and conquer us any time. And the valley darkened by the shadow of death, not facing the substance of death itself, but the shadow of death casting its dark, fearful outline across our path, makes it really scary and fearful. But the reality is that valley of death, or the death experience that we have to go through, is unavoidable. Can anyone get out of death alive? Probably not. That's what its death is. The statistics of death is 1 out of 1. Everybody who lives here will have to die. And that is the reality. It is unavoidable. And the Bible says that. In Hebrews chapter 9 we read, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then judgment. So Bible clearly teaches us that it is appointed us to die. There is no way out of death. But the certainty of death also brings about an uncertainty about when it happens. We are very upset about the way God brings death in us, right? To our dear ones. We get upset when our dear ones are taken away. And we really get complaining. You know, why did you do this to me? And things like that. But important things, many important things in our lives are uncertain, believe it or not. And death is one of them. How about birth? It's an uncertainty. You know, you have a baby coming. It could be, you know, any baby who is going to be born is an uncertainty until we have the baby in our hands. And even when the baby is born in this world as a new baby, we rejoice and be happy about it. But that very baby is also in the shadow of death as soon as that he or she is born into this world. But we don't really think about it. We don't know what is going to happen to that baby in the next moment. But that is the reality of life. It is unavoidable, it is uncertain, and it's unpredictable. It can come any time. Because there is no certainty of where we are. There's no safety where we are, or security where we are. And the other thing about death is that it's an equalizer. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how powerful you are, or how poor you are, or it doesn't matter, or how literate you are, how educated you are. It doesn't discriminate. Amen. It is an equalizer for everybody. No one is immune from death. Even Christ, the Son of God, had to go through death in this world to identify with our death. He didn't have to die. He is the eternal living God. But he came to this world to go through the dark valley of death so that he can identify with us and show us that there is an eternity that he is going to prepare for us, that he walked through that valley before us. So that is the encouraging fact that we have. The truth that we believe is that Jesus Christ, who walked through this valley, is going to be with us as we walk through this valley. And he is on the other side waiting for us to come through so that he can receive us on the other side. So do we have to be afraid when we walk through the valley of shadow of death? Definitely not. Because he is a God who walks with us in the valley, and also he is the one who is going to be with us after the valley to the other side. Because I have a relationship with God, the valley of death is not depressing. God has promised that he will walk with me through that valley. God has promised to walk with me every step of the way. He promises his presence. He does not leave me alone. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he guides me every step of that way. There is another reason that we have to have hope, because the scripture says that those who die in Christ will rise in glory. As we were listening to Miss Lou singing, now we will all rise in glory one day. Death is not the end. Actually, death is a... That's what the believers should believe. It is something that we look forward to beyond the death. It is not the end of life here. It is a life that God is going to give us with our dear ones who have departed before us. And who will be there? That we will be with them together. And also God's presence will be there with us in that place. Christ went through that valley. Because Christ is the light of the world, he lighted up the dark valley, and we have light there when we go through it, unlike many others. And also this message is not just about the person who died. It is also about the ones who are left behind. Many times somebody told me that when her husband recently died, she was reading about this psalm, and she said, "I never realized the 23rd psalm was about me. I thought it was about my husband who died." But it is not. I am the one now walking through the valley of the shadow of death. When our dear ones depart us too, they are not only in the valley, but we are also in the valley of grief and pain. For each of us, there comes a time when we realize that we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It might be the death of a loved one, the recognition of our own death, the death of a dream or a relationship or a diagnosis that you can take. Those things are dark valleys, but God is going to be there walking with us and going with us every step of the way. The ever-present shadow of death reveals and points to the ever-present light of God. So whenever we are darkened by the situations in our lives, or even death, remember that there is going to be light, that God's Son of God, who is the light of this world. It is a message that life is short and life is precious. Moses prays in Psalm 90, "Our lives are like grass that comes up in the morning and dry and wither in the evening. So teach us to number our days." So you can start counting. No, I'm just kidding. If you think that you're going to live, maybe in our case, 20 years, 30 years, it's not a lot of time. That's why Moses said, you know, count your days. If it is 5 years, it's only 1,500 days, or something more than that, a little bit more than that. If it's 10 years, it's 3,000 some days. It's not much. But remember, always be aware of the fact that every moment we spend in this world is precious. Not only for us, but also for our God. Because he is investing us every moment, especially when you are in 80s or 90s. Every moment is an investment in God's sight. Because he is investing us so that we can show his love and care and compassion to this world, no matter what we go through in this world. So as we go from this place, let us be assured of the fact that no matter how dark the valley is, there is the light of God that will shine through it, so that we can go through the light, go through the valley, because Jesus Christ is there shining the light for us. And also he is going to prepare a place for us. We read that here today. "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I come and prepare a place for you, I will take you to be with me, that you may be also where I am." So it is a place that we are going. It's not an unknown place. It is a familiar place with a familiar person. It's a heavenly Father waiting for us as we go from this world through death. So the message of death is to give purpose to the living ones. If we are ready to die, then we are ready to live. If we are not ready to die, we are not going to be ready to live. So continue in that promise that God has given us the promise that he will be there with us. It is a known place. We are going to be with a known person that we have been looking forward to be. So that is a glorious place that we will be joining together one day, without fear, without anxiety, without doubt. It is going to be there, that God is going to receive us there one day. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Please join this Holy Communion table. Everyone is welcome. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your law. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. On the night to which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, we all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As the ushers guide you, please come forward and take up part in this Holy Communion table. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is hymn number 700. It's not listed there. Abide with me. If you are able, please stand. We will sing 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Abide with me, fast for the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts me, help of the helpless, so abide with me. I need presence every passing hour. What but the grace can for the tempted fall, who like thyself my guidance taken be. cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee hand to bless. Ears have no waste and tears no bitterness. Where is the sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph, still lives, thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Hence morning breaks and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
As people of God, we are looking forward to that moment when we will be joining our Creator, our God, our Shepherd. And when we go through the darkest valley of death, we don't have to be afraid because He promised to be there with us. Go in the knowledge that He will be there and will be faithful. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.